We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Shoot the Shot, an NBA and variety show. It is December 10th, 2021. Jonathan Osborne, as always, I am joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
I'm great. We are, like 15, 16 days from Santa Claus coming to town. And,
Have you been naughty or nice?
I've been...
Oh, no, don't even. Don't even. We're not going there, bro. No, dude. Luke's getting a big old fat sack of coal. Cole, yep. Anthony, holler at your boy. Pause. Big old fat sack of coal. That's and good. We're going to lose all of our sponsorships after this episode, Luke.
That's true. Yeah.
So, the fat man is checking his list.
Twice, I hear.
Checking it twice. Going to find out if you're, naughty or nice. So, All right, guys. Well, we got a banger for you today, Tim the Tapman style. And, guys, so later on in the show, we were joined by Kobe Price, who is the new Orlando Magic beat writer for the Orlando Sentinel. Kobe was awesome. It was really, really fun to talk to him. We just wanted, Magic fans to get a chance to get him to know, get the chance to know him a little bit better now that he's going to be covering the team and traveling with the team. So really, really appreciate Kobe joining. Luke, that was a lot of fun, right?
Yeah, good time, man. I mean, he's new to the area of Orlando. He was actually in Chicago as we were recording. So going to be joining the team on their next road trip, essentially, and get to experience Orlando, make the move. So a lot of fun to kind of get in almost an outsider's perspective, right? Just a hoops head, essentially. Knows a lot about the NBA, and just see what his thoughts are on the Magic. I'm excited to see if his opinions change on certain players and then the guys on the team. It was a blast.
It was a lot of fun. We'll get to that interview a little bit later, but first, Luke, let's talk a little bit about NBA, about the NBA rather. So last week we talked about the hottest team in the league at the time, which was the Phoenix Suns, Luke. Mm. People might be surprised to find out that the current hottest team in the NBA is none other than the Houston Rockets, who currently sit with a record of 8-16. It sounds crazy to say that. But they currently have the longest winning streak in a row at 7 straight games. Started the season 1-16. And now have won the last 7 games in a row, Luke. What do you think?
Well, I mean, they're the first team to lose 15 in a row and then rip off, there was 6 straight, I believe, was essentially the most that had ever happened after losing like 15 straight. So then they just continue to win, man. I mean, they've made the adjustments needed. Shout out to the Rockets coaching staff. And they've made adjustments, man, and I've just kind of observed a few, searched around, kind of saw their rotations and kind of the adjustments they've made, man. It's been it's pretty crazy. I don't think you win that many in a row if it's a fluke, right? I mean, they'd beat the Nets just recently. So, regardless of who was out, right? I mean, they beat the Nets with the world kind of watching them, like when the Rockets for sure going to end tonight. And then tonight, as you guys are listening to this, I believe they take on the Bucks tonight. So and they're obviously not favored in Vegas' eyes, and so it'll be interesting. If they beat the Bucks, I'll be convinced that they have just kind of figured out a formula there.
Yeah, Luke, it's really this weird thing, and you, myself, and Kevin were talking about this, how like is like you just don't see like 7-game winning streak flukes. If that makes sense.
Especially from teams that were crappy previously. It's just like you must have figured it out, right?
Yeah, like a couple of years ago, you know, the Suns, you know, they go into the bubble just kind of as a, you know, borderline playoff team. They had to go undefeated in the bubble to even have a chance to make the playoffs. And they did just that. And then last season, that turns into an NBA Finals run. So there is something to how you can be really bad, make some adjustments, guys just start hitting their rhythm, and then all of a sudden you're a completely different team. But I do want to bring up this, Luke. Their 7-game winning streak, especially, you know, 4 of these games have been kind of against like lower tier opponents. So they've had 2 wins against the Oklahoma City Thunder, 1 win against the Orlando Magic, 1 win against the Pelicans. But apart from that, they've got wins against the Bulls, a win against the Hornets. And then, like you mentioned, they beat the Nets. I do want to mention the Magic, their 2-point loss to the Rockets. That's the closest game the Rockets have had in this 7-game winning streak. So, you know, put some respect on the Orlando Magic. But, I mean, if you just look at them, Luke, the last 7 games, they are 6th in overall net rating. They're 3rd in offensive rating. And they are 15th in defensive rating. So, really, just like this offensive explosion that we've seen now, that is, you know, over the last 7 games, has made them one of the best teams in the league. So 7-game win streak right now, their net rating is 7.2. So that means per 100 possessions, they're winning by 7.2 points per game. They're outscoring their opponents. So, I mean, if you look at their roster, you know, again, we're going just the last 7 games, you know, the streak that they're on, they've got, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys that really contributing to this winning streak who are all scoring in double digits. So you've got Kevin Porter coming, you know, up the back end. He's played 5 of those 7 games, but 13.2 points per game. Then you got Jayshon Tate, 15.3 points per game. He's averaging 5 assists and 5 rebounds. You've got Garrison Matthews, who has been a revelation. He's averaging 16 points per game. He's averaging 52% from the floor and 44% from the 3-point line. You've got good old Eric Gordon, and when I mean good old, I mean good old Eric Gordon, 17 points per game. Again, 51% from the floor, 46% from 3, Luke. And then Christian Wood leading all their scores, 18.3 points per game, 49% from the floor, 48% from the 3-point line, adding almost 12 rebounds and 2 blocks a game. Yeah. They're going absolutely crazy right now. I haven't looked at their field goal percentage, but I would assume it's towards the top of the league the last 7 games.
Right.
Go ahead and I'll look at that while you're going doing your thing.
Yeah. So basically, when a team rips off a win streak like this, most of the time something changed. There's a switch that was flipped on the coaching side of things, whatever it may be. The biggest thing I believe is that they have moved Christian Wood from power forward most of the time to majority center, right? So he is pretty much full-time in at the center position, it seems. Daniel Theis, who was a pickup in the offseason for them that they were excited about as a veteran presence to come in, last 3 games, DNPs. And you know, before that, he was playing between like 18 and 25 minutes a game. Completely out of the rotation right now the last 3 games, starting with that Magic game, right? And then they beat the Pelicans by 10, and they beat the Nets last night. Another DMP against the Nets. So that was one of the things, right? They're not playing Wood much alongside Şengün anymore. Like, they are just embracing Wood at the center spot. I think that has been one of the biggest things. And that's really opened up the ways that they could be, you know, how they can play with guys like Eric Gordon, who the last 3 games has scored over 20 points in the last 3 games, which is hilarious. So, I mean, everybody probably thought Eric Gordon was done. He was just going to be traded off at some point and used as a filler somewhere. And now he's contributing to this 7-game win streak. And so I'm all in on the chaos. I want it to continue. The one thing that is interesting to me, and I'm sure it's just coincidental, it would probably, maybe the streak continues even with them, but they're not having to develop Jalen Green right now. He played the game, I believe, in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, when they beat Chicago, and then hasn't, because that was the first game of their win streak, correct?
Yeah, he's missed the last six games
for
them.
So he played that game against Chicago, and then these last six games he hasn't played, and it hasn't really mattered at all. I mean, they're winning. They weren't winning, and I think there might be, you know, people who are trolling that might be like, oh, man, look, Jalen Green, I don't know. Is he already a bust? Because look at what the team's success is. There are people like that. I know there's people, rational people listening to this right now, and they're thinking, that is the stupidest thing you've ever said. Nobody says that. I can find you many comments and things on Twitter of people who have said this already. Whether it's a troll or not, it's just not accurate. I think that it does have a lot to do with the fact that Jalen Green isn't requiring run right now. Like, the veterans are stepping up. They're in place. I think this would be a great thing if the Rockets are like this long term. But I think once Jalen Green comes back, you're back in kind of like, okay, we got these young guys we need to develop. Sorry, Garrison Matthews and Eric Gordon, maybe we'll tone it down a little bit with you guys because these guys need to develop. And I think that you could see a dip when Jalen Green comes back. And it's, I mean, it is what it is. He's learning. And I think that that's really the other like hot topic of this streak is like, is that an issue? And I wholeheartedly think that it's just, it is what it is. Jalen Green's developing. He's got a lot to improve on. And I think that the Rockets are going to do that as opposed to fight for, you know, to be in the play-in.
Yeah, the second pick in the draft, you're not going to play him because, you know, you really like what's going on right now with this seven-game win streak. Like, it's not right. Like the Rockets are – no one expects them, at least I don't think. Still, I don't expect them to contend for a playoff position. I don't expect them certainly not to contend for a title.
You beat the Bucks tonight, and I'm listening. But you're not going to win a title, but I think that you're better than I gave you credit for despite your win streak. If you can beat the Bucks, you know, it's at home. It's in Houston. So if they can extend that win streak tonight, I'll start paying even more attention to the Rockets. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't, you know, little toot toot, just toot my own horn a little bit about Alperen Şengün, okay, who has been very, very good, you know, for the Houston Rockets. You know, if you've listened to the Six Man Show at all, last year when we talked about Mo Bamba, we do like the stat of per 36 minutes. It's not the end all be all. But it is a good indicator of what a guy might be able to do if given more minutes. So right now, Luke, Alperen Şengün, per game, I'm not going to go right to his per 36 right now. So right now, per game is averaging, where did I go? I just had that in front of me, and now I've lost it. 8.5 points per game, 4.4 rebounds, 2.6 assists per game, Luke. If we jump to his per 36 minutes, okay, right now, per 36, averaging 17.2 points per game, 48% from the floor, 35% from the three-point line, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 1.2 blocks per game. Alperen Şengün, I think, is as advertised. He's exactly what I thought he was going to be coming into the draft. Is the shooting going to improve a ton? I don't know. But if he can be a 35-36% three-point shooter for his career, I think the Rockets will take that. You've seen his competitiveness, his you know ability to be a versatile defender. You've seen some of the playmaking and flashes. Like, that kid is a lot of fun to watch. Not contributing in a crazy major way, but still contributing to the seven-game win streak and has still been a quality role player for the Houston Rockets. So, maybe I was wrong about Franz Wagner. I didn't really know what we were getting, but I was right about Alperen Şengün. At least the early returns tell me that, and I'm you know my confirmation bias. I'll let that speak for itself. But yeah, the Rockets. I think you're right, Luke. They beat the Bucks tonight. It's time to start paying attention.
Yep, no doubt.
All right, guys, we're going to give a quick shout-out to our patrons here, and then we'll go in and talk a little bit of fantasy football here. So if you guys don't know, we do have a Patreon channel. You can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. You can help financially support the show by you know subscribing to one of our three tiers here. So we're going to shout-out all of our patrons like we do each episode. Shout-out to Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Norm L., Magic Player History, and then Julio. I want to shout out Julio specifically here, Luke. Did you see that in the last couple of weeks, this kid was in Madison Square Garden when the Magic were last there and got their you know last win over the Knicks? Then he was in Golden State a couple of nights ago when the Magic played the Warriors. And then last night, the kid was in Sacramento to watch the Magic play the Kings. I want to know what Julio does for a living, Luke.
It's hard to hide money, ain't it?
It's hard to hard money, ain't it?
So, yeah, no, that's awesome.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Luke, let's talk a little bit about fantasy football. So you and I, you know, the last couple of weeks, we've kind of taken a break from, you know, gambling. We've been losing some money. We're,
it's
you know,
Christmas
we got to feed the kids.
I got to buy Christmas gifts and everything like that.
So, yeah, we kind of laid off being degenerates for a little bit. But let's go ahead and update the folks, you know, in terms of how we're doing in our fantasy football league. So you joined a dynasty league this year. It was a new league for you. It was the first time you ever did a dynasty league.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what are your thoughts on dynasty leagues now that you're one full season in, and how did you do this season?
Trash. Maybe it's different if like the rules are different, but like I got so many dudes on my roster that I don't even know what's going on. I'll go to try to pick up a player off the waiver wire this year, and he'd already be on someone's roster. And I'm like, how? This guy just, like, an injury just happened. How is this guy already off the waiver wire? So I'm like, oh, yeah, everybody has approximately 100 players on the roster. That's how. So I don't even have mixed emotions. It has rubbed me the wrong way. Usually I'm someone who's, like, super in-depth and listen to fantasy podcasts. I'm grabbing guys off waiver wires, you know, based on suggestions, things like that. I finished the league, the season, essentially. I think I was like 5-6 or something like that. I was like a half game out of, you know, the playoffs. So that's kind of how it ended for me. And, I don't know. I'm gonna have to talk to the commissioner, old commish, see if we can get some things changed about the league. Cause I don't know if I can do this again.
Yeah. So, me in terms of my fantasy league. So I'm in two separate leagues. One, all the barbers at the barbershop that I go to all in the same league. I've been in this league. I think this is my fourth year. Mm. I won the league the first year. The last 2 years I made the Super Bowl and lost. And I think this is going to be the year that, I don't make the playoffs. I don't make the Super Bowl, anything like that. Basically Aaron Jones getting hurt, you know, for a couple of weeks there really hurt me. And then Saquon Barkley, as a Giants fan, as a fantasy owner, just really been a disappointment this year, and just didn't get me to where I thought I was going to go. So I finished that league. This week is going to be my last week. I'm probably going to lose, so I'll probably finish the season 6-8. But then in my other league, which I'm in, you know, with a bunch of buddies of mine, Jonathan Taylor fell to me at like the 11th pick or something like that. Yeah. He's been the number one running back, you know, since Derrick Henry has gone out. So I went 8-3 in the regular season in this league. I scored 1,570 points. So I finished number one in scoring in the entire league. Multiple weeks as the high scorer. There's a ton of payouts in this league. So I'm walking into the playoffs with at least $250 in my pockets. $150 buy-in. Even if I lose, still making $250. You can never be mad at that. Right now I'm in the second round of the playoffs. So in this league, it's 2-week playoff rounds each. So I'm 2 weeks away if I can pull it off. Jonathan Taylor is on a bye week this week. So if I can pull off, you know, some type of miracle over the next 2 weeks and I make it to the Super Bowl, the Colts could not have picked a worse time to have a bye week for me. But yeah, if I make it to the Super Bowl, I think I'm guaranteed like another $200 at least. And if I win the Super Bowl, I'm looking at like $1,100 pot, something crazy like that. So all in all, been a pretty solid fantasy league for me, a fantasy year for me this season. I think this is my fourth or fifth straight year of making a Super Bowl, or well, if I make the Super Bowl in at least one of my leagues. And number one team all year, highest score in the league, I'm going to be pissed if I don't at least make it to the Super Bowl. That would just, you know, be ultimate bad luck. So hopefully the team pops off. Hopefully I'm able to make it in there, Luke. So Luke, let's go ahead and have a quick word from our friends at Manscaped, and then we will get into our interview with Kobe Price. Guys, it's holiday season and you don't know what to get as a gift or a stocking stuffer? Well, today's sponsor, Manscaped, has the tools to guarantee you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Manscaped is the leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they have served more than 4 million men worldwide. If my math is correct, that's almost 8 million balls. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the code 6th. That's S-I-X-T-H at manscaped.com.
Ho, 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 fellas. Naughty or nice, tis the season to perform. Here are our picks for Manscaped surefire win stocking stuffers. Number 1. The Manscaped 2-in-1 Shampoo Plus Conditioner, just launched. Kill two birds with one stone. Number 2, the Manscaped Cologne Infused Body Wash. Number 3, Shears 2.0 Luxury 4-Piece Nail Kit. Number 4, Crop Mops Ball Wipes for your stanky balls. Number 5, Manscaped Signature Cologne. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know their products are legit. Make sure you hurry to their site to ensure these wild gifts show up before the holiday season. Whether this is for your partner, dad, brother, friend, get them something that they will actually use and it's almost sure to get a laugh.
So get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the code 6th. That's S-I-X-T-H at manscaped.com. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped. All right, guys, we are here with Kobe Price, who has recently started covering the Orlando Magic for the Orlando Sentinel. Just going to give you guys a quick little bio. So he previously was a sports reporter for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, covering the University of Miami Hurricanes, the Miami Heat, Inter Miami CF, and FAU football. He is a graduate of Northern Illinois University, has held internships with the Chicago Sun-Times and CBS Sports Network. He is from Chicago. So I don't know if you're a Bulls fan, but Kobe Price, how are you, man?
I'm well. I'm doing well. Appreciate the intro. Yeah, I have done all that. That's crazy to actually say. Yeah, I have covered all those teams. And yes, grew up a Bulls fan, but my like overall sports allegiance, you know, I've grown up in multiple places. So it's like kind of changes by the city.
Yeah, man. So how is that like covering teams? Do you try to like take your fan hat off as much as possible, or like, us, we're very biased about the Magic and we're very unashamed about that. How do you feel about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, I mean, for my position, really take the fan hat off, but that doesn't mean don't be passionate about what you do. Like, you cannot be a fan, but still be passionate about your work, or still be curious about, you know, angles, or be curious about players, or be like, hey, I can just be like, hey, this player's amazing. Like, this player is great. I really like what they, you know, we can dive deeper into it, like just some inside basketball, but I really like how this, you know, player runs a pick and roll. I like their patience. I like their cadence in certain situations. So you can still like have that attachment, but maybe not be like, when I think fan, I think like rooting, yeah. Rooting for that is like, I'm not really like, not really rooting for it in that sense.
Yeah. As a journalist, you know, it's important to try to be as objective as possible. I know that, you know, Luke and Kevin would probably like to hear your thoughts about this, but so you just recently were covering, you know, the Miami Hurricanes. Right. What do you think of the head coaching change that happened down there? And then also Luke's Florida Gators. What are your thoughts on those hires?
Yeah. With Miami, it was honestly, I got out like right when stuff really got out of control. Like, you could kind of feel it towards the end. Like, I guess pull back the curtain. My last day at the Sun Sentinel covering Miami Hurricanes was the day after the last game, or like 2 days after the last game. So you could feel it. I knew stuff was coming. I just didn't know how quick it was going to happen, nor like
if it Andy was Diaz didn't know either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently not. Exactly. There was an awareness. There was like a feeling around the program, like, oh, this may happen, but it was not a definite at all. So just kind of like this, I guess, uneasiness, this lack of steadiness, everybody's like, all right, like, right. This is going to happen. This is really going to happen. Yeah. So, but for Miami, like, Cristobal, Ball, I mean, we've been saying his name amongst at least the media crew, whoever. We have been saying his name pretty much since like September, October, just thinking like if they could get their quote unquote guy, like Mario's definitely their guy now, whether he want to go, if they're going to give him the money, this resources, et cetera, to attract him. We didn't know that at the time. Clearly, and the answer to all those questions are yes. They're going to invest money into him, his coaching staff, into the program to make sure they said, look, we know that you are not, you know, you're not going to come cheap, right? You got to know that we're going to actually be good for real about building this football program up. So we're going to do that. And then for overall athletic program, just getting the Clemson athletic director. Yeah. Seems like it's taking a whole entirely different approach to just the infrastructure and how they're trying to build out not just the football program, but the athletics program overall. Like I said, it was a really weird saga because you felt like this uneasiness was just like, it's good. If they can get their guy, like he was right. Obviously their number one, so if they can get him, then that's what they're going for. Florida,
there we go. Tension early.
I don't have like anything bad to say about Florida. I mean,
your hesitance there, you know, speaks otherwise.
I knew a change had to happen. Like, cause it was weird because that Samford game was happening the same day as Miami Florida State. I think it actually might have been like a noon or 1 p.m. whatever. It might have been a noon kickoff. And we were all just talking like, yeah, Mullen's out. If it's not for this game immediately, then he's gonna have to go. Just because that situation, you could just see the players. It was a wrap for him. He lost that team. He lost that locker room. He lost that program. It was a wrap. And then I think like he was gone after the Mizzou. Like, I forget. Was it Mizzou?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like Billy. I like Napier, right? Billy Napier. I like him. I think he's going to do well there. It's just, it seems like it's going to take longer to, you know, get things turned around, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you have to play the long game with him.
No, for sure. And I think that Florida fans, myself included, are going to have to get used to like very, very mediocre seasons, kind of like we had like after 2010, and give him time to get his guys right. So that's definitely the thing. I could talk about Billy Napier. I love that dude already. I think he's passionate. He's already hit the recruiting trails, you know, day after being on campus. So so not enough good things so far to say about him. Hopefully that doesn't change. But Kobe, I wanted to ask you, you know, we talk about, you said like after your introduction, like, man, I have done all those things. What is like, as far as like place to live, you know, including your home, what's kind of your favorite spot that you've been so far in your career?
Yeah. I mean, the main places I've really been have been both, I guess, Chicago, Chicagoland area, South Florida, and now I'm going to be in Orlando. Honestly, I just had to stay with the hometown, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Also, because one, I'll say this, and this is going to sound crazy. It gets way too hot in South Florida. It gets way, like, obscenely hot. I'm also a warm body person. Mm-hmm. So from, like, May to September, maybe, like, early October, I'm miserable because I'm just walking around just, like, just sweating, dripping. It's just a disgusting sight, and it's just so hard. I'm the type of person who prefers the cold or just mild weather over just hot. And even Orlando is a lot cooler. It's more mild than South Florida. So, yeah, I might just stick with the hometown. Maybe Orlando will change my mind. But right now, hometown, where I grew up, that's the place to be.
The Windy City. So, Kobe, I wanted to ask you, you know, obviously, you know, you covered the Miami Heat a little bit, had some, you know, exposure down there in South Florida. What was it about, you know, the job with the Orlando Sentinel to cover the Orlando Magic that kind of pulled you away from Miami? Was it just the heat? You're like, anywhere north of here is good? Or what was it about, you know, potentially covering the Magic that interests you?
To be honest with you, this is December 2021. I made a decision like July 2020 that I just had to get as far north as possible. Like, if I could just move, I was going to incrementally make my way further north with each and every move. Halfway joking, not really. But anyway, really, it was more so about opportunity than anything else. Like, I was on some great beats down in South Florida, being able to cover the Miami Hurricanes. I was the backup heat rider, had a great experiences there. but it was really the opportunity to just be a lead NBA beat writer, you know, for a legacy paper like the Orlando Sentinel. You know, opportunities like that, they don't come very often. And to be and put in the position where that I was, that was, you know, a blessing. So as soon as the opportunity presented itself to me, I was like, yeah, I'm going after this, no doubt about it. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get into it, just like specifically the team, what I liked about the team, or maybe not what I liked, but just what I thought about the team when I was taking this job. But the opportunity to be a lead NBA beat writer, which is something I've always wanted to do since I've started my writing career. Once the opportunity was there, it was like, all right, I'm going to make this happen. I don't like all the logistical stuff that's going to stress me out from the day I move out of my apartment in Pompano Beach to the day I move into my apartment in Orlando. I'm going to have to figure that out. But I knew that was an opportunity that I just could not pass up.
Is basketball your favorite sport to watch?
Yes, absolutely. Gotcha.
Yeah,
100%.
What did that look like growing up for you?
I mean, for me, I grew up, you know, at least my dad's side of the family was big on basketball. I'll just name drop him now because, yeah, we're on the topic. But my granddad actually played in the league back in the day in the 70s. So my granddad and I guess that'd be my great uncle, my granddad's brother, they both played in the league. Like I said, back in the 70s, like 70 to 80 or like 72 to 76, whatever, however long. My granddad played longer than my uncle. So that, I guess, and then my dad played a little bit in college. My aunt played ball too. So I just grew up in a basketball, raised by like basketball people, at least on my dad's side. So I played high school, I played as a kid, just really loved the game and just always watched it. You know, I think I said this earlier, grew up a Bulls fan. My first favorite player was Ben Gordon. I just could not.
We had a little Ben Gordon stint in Orlando here a few years ago.
Didn't
go as well as his Bulls stint, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, I forgot about that. And I think part of me, I purposely forgot about that because I choose not to remember that.
I think he forgot about that. I think if he had a choice, yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, no, Ben Gordon, Luol Deng. I didn't really like Kurt Heinrich until like he came, like the second time, or he came back like a second stint. And like for no good reason besides like I always thought it was like Ben, like I don't know what it was, but I always thought it was like Ben Gordon versus Kirk Heinrich. Ben was like, no, I'm a Ben Gordon. I'm in the Ben Gordon camp. I would imagine at the time it wasn't really like that, but I felt like that as a kid. So I was like, I'm putting my stake in Ben Gordon camp. I am putting it all investing all of it right here.
I like it.
So then obviously you get Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah and then just those guys, those teams. Yeah. But so it was a great to grow up. And then obviously you have the Sky, who WNBA champion Chicago Sky right there.
The champs.
Being able to watch them growing up too and just being able to follow them even, you know, to this day. So
that's awesome.
That's, you know, basketball has been a big part. And I was talking to one of my friends not too long ago, and he was like, man, we were 8 years old when we were like in elementary school or whatever. We were 8 years old talking ball. So I always knew that you had this passion and, you know, you were going to wind up making this. I was like, yeah, man, it's actually crazy to believe it. But we were like 8 years old breaking down basketball during recess, like that's extra awesome. Seriously for no reason. We were going to be on ESPN, all of us, just like right there.
Have you seen Kirk Heinrich recently? The years have not been kind to my guy. He's looking old.
I have not seen any of Kirk. I would probably say within like the last 3 years.
Yeah, I think when they recently had like the Joakim Noah night, in Chicago, they had a bunch of, you know, ex-Bulls come for that. And Kirk Heinrich was at that. And I was like, who's this old guy standing with Joakim Noah? And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's Kirk Heinrich. Like, he aged very, very quickly. Because I just remember him, obviously, in the shades. Like, the guy looked like he was 23 years old until he retired. And now he looks all of, you know, 40, 45, whatever he is now. So
Wait a second. I'm trying to look this up now because I feel like I know the picture you're talking about. I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah, I felt the same way. No. I didn't even recognize him.
Oh no, yeah. Let me see if I can find this picture real quick. But
Kirk has seen better days, I think.
Yeah. If you Google Kirk Heinrich, Joakim Noah night, and go to images, there's a picture of just him and Joakim together. Yeah, it's tough.
2020 was hard on a lot of people, guys. Hard on a lot of people. Say,
I'm not judging. Like I just didn't know about this.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 40, by the way. Yeah, he's 40.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, it was, yeah. I can see it now. Yeah. It happens. It happens. It has been a while since I've been around. Like, since I've actually seen him like that. Like, yeah, it makes sense. He is getting up there. So,
I mean,
he did look like the same age from the beginning of his career to the end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm 28. I'm going to be bald soon. So, like, just certain things happen to people like that. That's the hand you were dealt, you know?
It's right, crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's only been 5 years since he's been playing. 35 is when he retired. I feel like that was so long ago, but it's probably just because of the drop off that happened. He was scoring, single digit points, starting like at age 30. So, but yeah, no, that's crazy, man.
I'm gonna say at least he has his hair.
He does.
He does. He's got that on me. I might be 40 years old looking like Alex Caruso, but I just won't have hair. So. We'll kind of see what happens there. But Kobe, let's talk specifically about the Orlando Magic. So you kind of alluded to some things that you thought were interesting about the team, when big opportunity for you, but obviously, you know, there's some interesting storylines going on with the team. And, the last, I don't know how long you've been paying attention to the Magic, but, covering them very closely the last few weeks. What are your initial thoughts about the Magic? What have you seen? What do you like? What do you think this team can become?
Yeah, my initial thoughts kind of lined up with, I guess, more or less with the thoughts I had when I first joined the Beat, or when I first took over the Beat, took the job. And that, obviously this is a very young team. This is a very, a team that's trying to get their experience. They're taking their lumps and they're trying to develop these guys from, I know he's out right now, at least at the time of recording, but, trying to develop Jalen Suggs, trying to develop Franz Wagner, who's actually been a revelation in many ways, and just the development that he's even had within whatever 25-ish games of his NBA career, taking another step. I know he's not quote unquote a rookie or second year, but taking another step in the development of both Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter Jr., both, I think, 2018 draft class. So both in their fourth year, just trying to get them to another level in their careers. RJ Hampton, another young guy. I know that they're not quote unquote young guys in the sense that we think, but at least to me, Markelle Fultz and Jonathan Isaac are both young guys, both obviously out and, expected to return this year. But their development is also crucial just to see what they can be long-term. So just a whole lot of seeing where this goes. And then obviously got the vets, guys like Gary Harris, Robin Lopez, Terrence Ross. I know Etwan Moore's hurt, but guys like that, seeing how they fit in. So it's just a lot of new and a lot of the new interests me, where this goes from here interests me. That's actually a big reason why this job was so great to me, because there's a whole lot of, fresh ground to really build upon. As for where I see this team going, do you mean like this year? Do you mean like,
oh, no, long-term? No, not this year.
Yeah. We know where they're going this year, right? Yeah. To the lottery, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to say, hope you didn't have high expectations. Yeah, no, long-term, it's very much hedging. I'm sorry, but I need to see more, just because I haven't seen Jalen Suggs and Markelle Fultz play together like the rest of us, right? It's so hard to project this team when, three of your top, let's be conservative and say eight players for the future aren't playing. I said eight conservatively. Like, some people may say three of your top five. I'm saying Jalen, Mo, right. I don't know, Jalen, Jonathan, and Markelle. Those three, just they haven't, none of them. Well, I guess Jalen hasn't played with either Markelle or Jonathan, and Jonathan and Markelle haven't played this season. They haven't played in a while. So
right,
yeah. I hadn't really. Sorry to cut you off, Luke, but I hadn't thought about that. Like, Cole has never played with Jonathan. Cole has barely played with Markelle. So, right. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so to me, that's like a lot of it. We think about like development in terms of, this player getting better, this player doing this, this player doing that, this player adding this. A lot of it, once you get to a certain point, is like, all right, that's great that they're all better, but like, how does this fit? Like, how do they fit with one another? And, like you said, Cole, he's taking one of the biggest leaps of all these guys from last year's team, but he hasn't, like I said, he hasn't played with Isaac. He hasn't played, he's barely played with Fultz. He's barely played with Jalen. And Jalen hasn't played with either.
Right.
And same with Franz. Franz hasn't played with either Markelle or Jonathan Isaac. Wendell has not played with Jonathan. Just like you start doing the combinations. You're just like, a lot of the most important guys have not. Obviously, Mo has played with, more of them just because he's, been around for a while, but quote unquote a while.
Right.
But yeah, that's just like a part of it. Just part of it, just learning like, all right, how do these pieces fit? But they can't fit until they play together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was just gonna say, you know, not been covering the team very long, but so far, you know, who interests you the most on the Magic in terms of maybe play style? Because there's a couple different names you could throw out there right now for different reasons, but you personally, who's kind of the player you've enjoyed watching and getting to learn their game the most?
That's actually, oh, you're gonna hurt me with this one. Ah. Well, because okay, so the sad part is that, you know, obviously since I've been on the beat, Jalen hasn't played, right? So he, I can kind of like eliminate him just off the strength of I have not seen him play since I've been on the beat. I've seen him play just not since I officially joined the beat. You know, it's really coming down to like two guys for me, is Wendell or Franz. Like, there's those two who are like, I'm gonna say Franz right now, but I'm very curious about Wendell. As well.
Yeah,
he's so good.
And for Franz, it's, he's better than I thought he would be to start his career. So crafty, so skilled, very poised. He's not in this camp of, he's not like a mistake maker in that sense.
No,
he comes into it like, all right, team seems very polished, more polished than I think anybody would have expected to start off. For me, it's okay, how much further can you go? Like, what other tweaks can you make to your game to, I guess, elevate the ceiling or perceived ceiling I thought I had of you? Because he's already elevated past the ceiling I at least had of him for this season.
Right.
So what more can he add to his game? He's already been, at least we're recording, I guess I should pull it back the curtain on what, December 9th?
Yeah.
I think he's had like, he's just had, what, 3 weeks straight of just being this very consistent, very well-rounded player, from a scoring standpoint, but a facilitating standpoint. Defensively, he's just, you know, he's there in a way that you always don't see from rookies. So for me, I'm just trying to figure out, all right, what more is going to come? Like, is he going to be a kind of guy who, you know, is he going to be the kind of guy who doesn't ever truly turn into a star, or all-star, but can really just be a high-level role player? Like, he's almost going to be like Mikal Bridges in terms of, you know, being a high-level role player. And I know Mikal Bridges obviously has, you know, time to add more to his game, but I hope you guys get what I'm saying in that sense. Just be like, all right, he's going to get paid, like, extra crazy money just because he is a big wing who can do a lot of different stuff. He's not 3 and D. He is 3 D plus, right?
Yeah.
Or is he going to be like, all right, we're going to take this to another level, like true, you know, all-stardom? Wendell is, to me, like, almost for the opposite reason. I knew, or I feel like I had an idea that he could be this good, just because I've been following him back from Chicago days. I followed him back to his Duke days. So I knew the skill was there. It just wasn't ever brought out of him until this season, really, and even a little bit last season. Now he's being, I guess, being more, just simply being more aggressive to me. Like, comparing him to how he was, you know, his first 2.5 years in Chicago versus how he is now, it's almost like a completely different player from a attack aggression standpoint. So I'm just trying to figure out, all right, you're like, you're being more aggressive. I know the skill set's there. What we're like, almost like I used with Franz, like, where else can you take it? Like, it's no more, it's not so much about developing the skill. It's just about how much further can this specific skill set take you?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Luke.
No, I was just going to say, like, talking about those guys, man, like, there is such a, I mean, just question marks everywhere, right? Wendell coming from Chicago, I think that now he's just got the team chemistry down. I think that they all, you know, truly get along and that they are looking out for each other. And maybe, you know, in Chicago, he felt like, you know, you know, whether I'm getting, you know, maybe screwed over by my coach in terms of play and things like that. And also just kind of injury, those type of things. I mean, now he's just in a rhythm. I mean, he's able to play alongside these guys that are growing just alongside of him. And there's no like star that is kind of overshadowing what he can do right now. You got Cole scoring 20 points a game right now, but I don't think that he's like a bona fide star, obviously. So Wendell, man, he's been great. Franz, his vision. I mean, we've talked about it amongst ourselves and on the pod some. But Franz's vision, he'll make a pass out of the pick and roll. And I'm like, that's ridiculous, man. Like, just threading the needle to Dell and doing those things. I mean, they look their two-man game is great. So I think that's an interesting combination. I thought for sure that you might go Cole or Franz. So, but Dell's been incredible too. I mean, from what we thought we were getting with him or what we didn't know about him, he's been a lot of fun to just see develop. All these guys are taking strides, it seems, for the most part, but yeah, those guys are a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Wendell is a guy that, you know, Kobe, you mentioned this like with Franz and you alluded to it with Wendell, is that like, all right, we're seeing what you can do now, but is there another level to get to? Like, Wendell right now is a bona fide double-double machine. I was thinking about it last night. Like, I remember, you know, like David Lee playing for the Knicks back in the day. He's a double-double machine, and he was averaging like 10 and 10. And we thought this was like this huge like revelation in the league. And now you have guys that do it every single year. But yeah, Wendell could, you know, go from being like a 14 and 10 guy. You know, we saw the evolution with Vooch. Wendell started shooting the ball crazy at the beginning of the year. He's come back a little bit down to earth. But if he can ever hover around that like 37-38% with just like the pick and pop and the trail threes, like he's a guy that I could definitely see becoming an all-star.
And with Cole, I am interested in him because he's another guy. Like, he's taken a step I did not expect to see him to take. Like, I've saw Cole Anthony last year, and what he's done in so like across the board as a player has been incredible. Maybe it's just because like he's started to do this, like he's been like this since the beginning of the season. So I'm just kind of like, all right, there's more to it. I'm not sure how much more going to come this year specifically, but there is more to him. Like, someone asked me the other night, like, you know, could he be a starting point guard? I was like, on a good team rather. I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say no. Like, he may not be like, he's a starting point guard right now. Yes. But talking about on a good team on the next, you know, the next iteration of the Magic, I don't see why not. I don't see why he couldn't develop that. Like, there are things he needs to tweak and learn and develop, but he absolutely can be. Like, but that's something, if you asked me that last year, I've been like, oh, I mean, maybe, possibly, I don't know. Now I'm just like, no, definitely, he could definitely be that because he's, you know, he's playing at a high level. And I think someone else asked me, like, could he be an all-star? I was like, maybe, possibly. Maybe not like an 8-time all-star, but, you know, if you told me he made 2 all-star games, you know, in the prime of his career, I'd be like, shoot, makes sense with the way he's developing these past couple of years. And yeah, with Wendell, and it's something like the shooting I figured was going to be there just because of his touch and his free throw numbers. They just seemed like he was a guy who could extend the floor, stretch the floor out if given an opportunity. What I've noticed a little bit more this year, really not just a little bit more, a lot more, is he's providing a little bit more juice off the bounce. Not like all the time, but just like here and there. I'm like, huh. Did not know that was in your bag, Mr. Carter Jr. I see it. That's something I'm interested in. Like, if he can be a guy who can, you know, create off the balance, not like, you know, put him in the, you know, free throw line extended and just like have him go to work, but, you know, catch 2 dribble pull up and it's in, just like, okay, that's a whole different element to his game that I really didn't expect, you know, from him. Really, to be honest, like, I didn't, coming out of school, coming out of Duke, I did not know he's going to be like that. So that's another revelation. I'm curious, like, all right, you can get this 1 dribble pull up, this 2 dribble pull up. Let's see what else you can get. Can you get a crossover? Just like stuff like that. And I like it's bad podcasting right here. Like, you can't see me, but like, the, you know, like get into their stance and they do like the 3 dribbles back and forth. Yeah. Maybe not like that, but, you know, just a single crossover against a big guy, get him a little off balance and just pull up.
I think like him extending to the 3, like you almost 4 or 5 times a game, you see the Wendell pump fake, and he's gotten a few guys with that. Like, he bodied Cody Martin against the Hornets a couple weeks ago with that, like the pump fake. And then Cody was just like, all right, you know, not making a business decision here, went up and, you know, paid for it. But Kobe, so you're getting ready to hit the road here, you know, for your first road trip with the Magic pretty soon. We talked a little bit about it off air, but like, What things are you looking most forward to being able to do, like covering an NBA team all the time? Are you looking forward to the travel? Or are you just looking forward to being super close to the team and, you know, hearing the storylines? What are you looking forward to?
Honestly, all of it. Yeah, the travel is great. Honestly, it's just cool. It's, at least to me, you know, going to different cities, experiencing different environments and areas. But the biggest thing is obviously just being a little bit more in tune with the team. You know, they're away from home. They're away from their quote unquote home environments. So just, you know, having a little bit more, I guess, closer access in that sense, you know, away from TV, like, oh, it's just be like, look, it's just going to be, you know, a couple media members and the team. It's just like, you can get a little bit more of those experiences. You can learn a little bit more from a team when they're away from home than maybe you can when they're at home. So to me, that's one of the biggest pluses and one of the best things about being on the road. You just get a little bit more, you learn a little bit more, you get a little bit closer to the team. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, we recently lost one of our the Magic beat writers. Josh Robbins was covering, you know, the team for the Athletic, and now he's in Washington. So I know a lot of people are really excited to have you here in Orlando. Now that we have someone else on the beat, we're really looking forward to your work. Really looking forward to reading you. Yeah, we don't want to take too much of your time here, man. We really, really appreciate you coming on the show. It was a lot of fun. You're welcome back anytime. We have a press passes of our own, so we'll for sure see you at Amway soon.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to see all you guys up in Amway. Thanks for having me on, first off. Yeah, no, this is great. Appreciate you guys introducing me to Magic fans. I can feel the love. I can feel the welcoming. It's been great. It's been a great, you know, first week and a half, about to be 2 weeks. So we're just getting started. We are just getting started.
Dope, man. Well, I hope the rest of the move, you know, moving into Orlando is going to go well for you. I'm sure you're going to learn to love the city. And again, we're really appreciative for you joining the show, and welcome to Orlando, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Y'all got some muscles. Y'all want to help me move my stuff, get these boxes going?
So Luke actually lives in Nebraska.
Wow.
I live near Tampa, and woo! Kevin lives in Savannah, Georgia. So we're not very close, but Magic
fans, I'll hire out movers there for you, but I'm
okay. Well, thank you, Luke. That's yeah. All
Magic fans of listening course. To this podcast at Kobe on Twitter. If you want to help him move into his apartment, we can at least give you something there, Kobe.
Yeah, but, I'm having
thank you, man. Thanks for joining
people
us.
Show to my apartment. That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Perfect. You'll get it done like that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's right, awesome. Man. Thanks all for having right. me on for real.
Thanks, Kobe. Really appreciate it. All right, Magic fans, that was our interview with Kobe Price, the new Orlando Magic beat writer for the Orlando Sentinel. Kobe, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It was a lot of fun. Really appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. We're really looking forward to, you know, what you're going to do with the Sentinel and covering this team. So, folks, that is going to wrap it up for us this week. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to Shoot the Shot, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.